Panchatmakam.
Five elements.
Yonim.
Yonim.
Source of birth.
Source of birth.
Eva.
Like.
Putita.
Putita.
Emanating.
Agni.
Fire. Translation now, upon becoming fixed in his attachment to the Supreme Personality of God by the grace of the spiritual master by awakening knowledge and detachment, the living entity situated within the heart of the body and covered by the five elements burns up his material surroundings exactly as fire arising from wood burns the wood itself. Prabhupada said that both the Jivatma, the individual soul, and the Paramatma live together within the heart. In the Vedic version, it is stated, Shri Yayam Atma. The soul and super soul both live within the heart. The individual soul is liberated when it comes out of the material heart or cleanses the heart to make it spiritualized. The example given here is very appropriate. Yonim Nivotita Agni. Agni or fire comes out of wood, and by it, the wood is completely destroyed. Similarly, when a living entity increases its attachment for the Supreme Personality of God, he is to be considered like fire. A blazing fire is visible by its exhibition of heat and light. Similarly, when the living entity within the heart becomes enlightened with full spiritual knowledge and detached from the material world, he burns up his material coverings of the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky, and becomes free from the five kinds of material attachments, namely ignorance, false ego attachments to the material world, envy, and absorption of material consciousness. Therefore, Panchatmakam is mentioned in this verse refers to either the five elements or five coverings of material contamination. When these are all burned into ashes by the blazing fire of knowledge and attachment, one is firmly fixed in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless one takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and advances one's attraction for Krishna by the spiritual master's instructions, the five coverings of the living entity cannot be uncovered from the material heart. The living entity is centered within the heart. To take him away from the heart is to liberate him. This is the process. One must take the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and by his instruction increase one's knowledge and devotional service, become detached from the material world, and thus become liberated. An advanced devotee, therefore, does not live within the material world, but within a spiritual body, just as a dry coconut lives detached from the coconut husk, even though within the husk. The pure devotee's body is therefore called Chinmaya Sarira. In other words, a devotee's body is not connected with material activities, as such a devotee is always liberated, asking from the body of Gita. Srila Rupa Goswami also confirms this. Iha yasya hrir das ye karmana manasa dira Whatever his condition may be, one who is engaged fully with his body, mind, and speech in the service of the Lord is liberated, even within this body. Translation: upon becoming fixed in his passion, his main personality of Godhead, by the grace of spiritual mastery, by waking knowledge and attachment, the living entity, situated within the heart of the body and covered by the five elements, burns up his material surroundings, exactly as fire rising from wood burns the wood itself. So this verse shows the result of being fixed in the Supreme Lord. In the previous verse that was mentioned, that was Rati. So that Rati here gains mention as called Naishtiki, or fixed. So when that Rati or is very fixed and very strong, then the effect is that just as fire burns up wood, so in the heart we have fire burning also. So this burning of the fire usually refers to destruction of different things. Fire burns up karma, for instance, Bhagavad Gita. Karma is destroyed by fire of knowledge. So here we have bhakti destroying the coverings in the heart. It's called jiva kosham. And it's called panchatmakam, five coverings. So of course we can think of the five material elements, or we can think of the five kleshas. In any case, it refers ultimately to ignorance, which is the root of the coverings on the jiva. And from ignorance we get all the other things arising. So, in other words, by the process of bhakti, one dissolves the not only these elements, but the whole subtle body, which is a kosha. And within that kosha then we have all these things like ignorance, etc. So Kapila Dev has also stated in the third canto that the process of bhakti dissolves this subtle body of the jiva. So why is it necessary to dissolve the subtle body? Because the subtle body goes with the jiva in the material world. And as long as it sticks to the jiva and holds karmas and desires, then we're not liberated from the material world. So liberation or freedom from the material world would mean we have to ultimately destroy that subtle body's connection with the jiva. Just as the gross body is destroyed when you die. So when you get liberated, you must also destroy the subtle body. But before that, that subtle body is not destroyed. It goes with the jiva. The gross body dies, but the subtle body does not. It goes with the jiva, carries all the karmas and desires, etc. So we can say that the subtle body also is a cause of bondage for the jiva, just as the gross body is. Of course, the main idea is that it's not so much the body which is the problem, it's the attachment to the body. So the material body is also not a problem for the jiva, but because we misidentify with it and become attached to it, then it becomes a problem. So similarly, the subtle body is not a problem as such, but it becomes a problem when we use it in the wrong way. So the mind and the senses and the intelligence, when they are directed towards the material world, they become a cause of bondage. But they don't have to be a problem. They can be useful also. So therefore we can use the mind and the senses and the intelligence in a proper way. And they can serve us, and they can help us get out of this position. They can destroy the ignorance also. So not necessarily they are bad, they can also have a good aspect. So therefore, the senses and mind and intelligence can be useful for us if we use it in the proper way. So this is what we call bhakti. The other process, of course, is try to stop everything, stop the senses, and stop the mind, and stop everything, stop the intelligence, stop all the functions of chitta, consciousness. And then, in yoga, and then Atma reveals itself, when everything else stops. that is a difficult process. So instead, in bhakti, we engage the senses and the mind, the subtle body, whatever, in serving the Lord. And the result is that again, ignorance and desires and karma, etc., are destroyed. So the result is the same, but the technique is different. So this is what devotional service is. It is an engagement of the senses, etc. And through that process, then we get same result, freedom from the material world. But of course, unlike the other processes, we get more than that, because in the process of bhakti, we are directing ourselves towards the Supreme Lord. So we develop a relationship with the Supreme Lord. So the main factor here is the development of the attraction to the Supreme Lord. So in this verse, that a relationship is called rati. When that rati is strong, the relationship with the Lord is strong, then this happens, the burning up of that subtle body with all of its obstacles is a thing. So of course that doesn't mean that once we do bhakti, that we don't have a mind, we don't have intelligence, etc. Similarly, when we do bhakti, then the gross body should also burn up and disappear. So they remain, but they function differently. They don't function in a negative way for the person doing devotional service. So everything is engaged in the service of the Lord, and that is equivalent to being destroyed. So when the devotee who has attained perfection leaves his body, then he leaves his body, subtle body, and he leaves his gross body. They're no longer functional for him. And he simply has a spiritual body. Before that point, then he will engage whatever subtle body remains in his gross body in the service of the Lord. And they don't become an obstacle for him. So that is the process. So Prabhupada has quoted Rupa Goswami here, where he says that one engages activities in the mind and words in the service of the Lord in this world. And if one does so, then one is called Jivan Mukta. So it doesn't mean one doesn't have a body or senses, they're still there. But because one engages them in the service of the Lord, then they don't bind you to the material world. And they also destroy all the karmas and all the desires and the false ego, etc. So, therefore, not necessary that they're absolutely destroyed. They simply do not function in the way that they function for others in the material world. They don't become an obstacle for getting out of the material world. So the example here is given of the fire. And the fire destroys the wood. So, the jiva, through his rati, through his attraction for the Lord, destroys the bondage coverings on the jiva, the subtle body and all desires and false ego, etc. So this is stated directly in the nectar devotion also. The first quality of bhakti is klesha agni, to destroy all kleshas. Now what are the kleshas? The kleshas are exactly these things, the five kleshas. Raga and vesha and avinivesh, avidya. These are the problems in the material world. And asmita, which is false ego, ahankara. So these are the things which bind the jiva in the material world, and bhakti destroys them. In fact, the effect starts taking place in sadhana bhakti. Kleshagni has its effect in sadhana bhakti. So when we begin the process of bhakti, then this process of destroying the kleshas begins. And then it's completed within bhava bhakti or when we get to the stage of rati. Therefore it speaks here of the fire here burning up. So at the stage of rati, actually it is completed. The fire is complete, the destruction is complete. And technically then, that person is called liberated, or jiva mukta.
doing that, subject body is doing good and living entity. You will say, one is good, and it is dictated with the subject body. But as long as, you know, the subject body will be there as long as there.
Yeah, as long as we have a material body, the subtle body will remain. But if we are detached from material enjoyment and we engage everything in the service of the Lord, then that material body does not, the subtle body does not function the same way as a normal person, so it's not a cause of bondage. But then, when one leaves the body, one also leaves the subtle body, and one goes to the spiritual world. Yeah. Everything functions in the jiva itself. Everything, the jiva has all functions, but of course these are spiritual functions. It's not. In other words, when we talk about mind and intelligence, these are material things, emanations from property. But in the jiva, it's not property at all. But the similar functions are there. Otherwise, we have to say Krishna is unintelligent. Krishna has no intelligence. Krishna has no memory because he's got a mind. No, he's got intelligence, he's got memory, etc. It's sarvajna. But it's not this, it's not the material one. Oh, well, generally the soul's functions are not so particularized in the material body because the subtle body carries out a lot of the functions. So the Atma supplies the consciousness, and then these other things like buddhi and manas, etc., which are material, they carry out all the different functions. So these things are not developed in the jiva at that point. Of course, when we develop devotional service, then the Atma develops these spiritual functions.
Is it important to be a jivan nitya
to perform devotional
service? Huh? Important to? Be a jivan nitya to perform devotional
service. Important to?
Is it very important, essential to become jivan nitya to perform devotional service?
Jivan mukta.
To be a jivan mukta?
To perform devotional service.
Well, jivan mukta here refers to a devotee who engages himself completely in the service of the Lord, which means obviously he's at the pure level. So the whole goal of sadhana is to get to that level. If we don't have that goal, then we stay in the material world, and our bhakti doesn't progress. The qualities are there mentioned in the nectar of devotion, and of course even in the Bhagavatam, the exalted souls. The qualities of a person in bhava and prema are mentioned.
Bhagavad Gita, you said that this material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. Can you say that the spiritual body, the material body is just a reflection of the spiritual body?
Oh yeah, there's a form. So there's a form, but it's different. It has similar functions in one sense, but at the same time it's different. So yeah, it's a reflection.
The material body is a function of the spiritual body.